Yeah, the first word we're going to record for this whole lesson is Yankees. But my dad taught me, he said something about how close you get to a bunch of guys that you go through battle with. They didn't share the same background. They didn't have the same culture. Didn't have the same religious faiths. They didn't have the same personalities for sure. But they got closer than brothers because in that time of trouble, they stood together. And I begin to look in Scripture to find that same thing. And you know what? It's there. That yes, love one another means we're supposed to do some things face to face. Accept, honor, encourage. That's face to face stuff. But sometimes our love for each other is side by side. If the definition of fellowship is what I've told you before, it's all a bunch of fellows being on the same boat. Fellowship. That's the best definition I know of fellowship. His life, his time in the war illustrated that to me. That they had one purpose and they wanted to accomplish one thing. And because they did, they went through that together, they functioned as one. Did they like each other? And I don't know that we need to go through that particular part of it. I'll just illustrate it this way. When my children were walking, listening to him tell some of his war stories, and he started showing them different medals he got, he made this confession. Honest, my dad said it. He said, "There'll be two medals you won't find in all the medals that I have there." He said, "You're not going to find a Purple Heart because I never got wounded, and you'll never find the Good Conduct Award." Right? That's what you said, right? There you go, yeah. Now this is the guy that expected us to have good conduct at school. And of course I always did. It was my brothers that had the trouble. All right, now, here's the point. In this fellowship, now we're not talking about them. Listen to me, we're not talking about them. We're not talking about any churches out there. We're not even talking about that first hard-headed bunch that meet with me. No, we're not talking about them. We're talking about us. In this room, us. We have to learn that a part of our love for each other has to be expressed in our doing our part in this side-by-side partnership. Now, we're going to look at some verses, and we're going to put them down, and then we're going to go back through and work through them. But look in Romans chapter 12. All right. All right. Everybody got it? Romans 12. If you're having a hard time finding it, it's page 1747 in the giant print Bible. All right, here we go. We're going to start in verse 3. By the grace given me, I say to every one of you, and note these things, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought. Now stop. We're about to discuss some things where it would be possible for somebody to think they're something that they're not, and God is going to warn us about not doing that. Why do you think, I got to have your response on this, why do you think God wants to start that way when He's going to talk about gifts we have, when He starts to think about parts that we play, when He starts about functions that we have in this body? Why do you think one of the things He's going to say is not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think?
He did, and He humbled Himself.
Jesus was a great example of it. He did not think more highly of Himself than He ought to think. What else?
That's what we do.
Your focus is wrong. Ralph, you say that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you get an extra donut because that is dead right. It is. If I'm thinking that I'm higher than you, my focus is on me. And that's not how we function. You can't function that way. That's not how a body functions. And the 1 Corinthians is a whole bunch of stuff, and we're not going to read it today, but a whole bunch of stuff about if the eye says I don't need the rest of the body, that eyeball's in trouble, right?
Yes.
If the hand says, I don't need the eyeball, he's in trouble. The foot says, I don't need the brain, he's in a lot of trouble, right? If he thinks more highly of himself than he ought to think, you're in trouble. And now look at the next phrase, though. Don't think more highly than you ought to think, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Now, what that means is you don't adopt this church house humility. Oh, I can't do anything. I'm just a nothing. It's not about comparing yourself to somebody. I can't sing as good as. I can't preach as good as. I can't pray as good. I can't give as much as. I can't. No. It's not about comparing. It's in sober judgment with accordance with the faith that God has given you. Here's what you do. Just as each of one of us has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the others. Underline that phrase. Each member belongs to the other. Now let's stop a second. In this body, this is considered... In Scripture, when Jesus says, when He talks about His body, there are times that He'll be talking about the whole church all over the world church. But sometimes the letter is written to a local, in a rented room, kind of church, like us. Right? In that body, God places different gifts with different members. Do they all have the same function? No. But do they all belong to each other? Now, folks, I'm going to say this now. I'm going to say this now, and then I'm going to wear us out with it later. And I told you, I warned you, so don't get nervous. But if you have a gift that this body needs, if you have a gift that you're willing to offer this body for our benefit, for this grand purpose to follow Jesus, then that belongs to us. I'll illustrate it in practical terms. It's not a preacher illustration. It's real life stuff. I was in jail. And for those of you, I work in jail. I don't have to go. But I work in jail. I was in jail on it's Thursday or Friday. I started getting text messages from Ross. If you don't know Ross, I'll introduce you to him the next time I see him. But Ross said, Haley's going to the doctors. She's having some real bad pains and nausea. They found out it was... And I'm getting several text messages back and forth. It's gallstones. They're not going to operate. Now they're going to operate. No, they're not going to operate. Now they're going to operate. It was a real mess. They finally took her and they said they're going to do surgery. She did surgery. She spent the night in the hospital. Then I get a text from him. He said, the doctors are going to release us. No, they're not. Back and forth three or four times. Finally, he says, hey, the doctors just said we can go home. Now, flashing lights for my brain. Mama has had surgery, and there's a baby in the family. A 12-year-old girl in the family. And Ross. And that's all I'm saying. Immediately, Mama's in the... What immediately pops into your mind? Somebody needs to take them food, right? Well, I'm the only one that knows. Where am I? I'm in jail. So you know what I got to do? I got to get out of jail. Yeah. You know what I got to do? I've got to get out because I'm not going to be out of jail before they get home. They need supper. So I know that members of this body have those kind of abilities, and those abilities belong to us. So I call Linda. I called Linda. I said, Linda, I don't know what you got scheduled. Are you okay this afternoon? She said, I got one appointment, but after that I'll be great. I said, and why did I call Linda? Those of you who know Linda, why did I call Linda? She's a good cook, and she's a get-her-done kind of lady, and she doesn't have a full-time job that she goes to. And she works all the time, but she doesn't have a full-time job boss that she has to answer to. So I called her first. She said, I'll take care of it. She was good at it. So she took that food over on that night, that first night. She did what she could do to help this body show care for that family. Right? That's the way it's supposed to be. It happens, and it's easier when it's me, because I'm up here at the front, and you think, we'll call Rex. You do it. You got somebody that you want to talk to about Jesus. You want to help somebody with a problem. You'll call or text and say, hey, Rex, can you do this? Well, why would you think about that? Because we belong to each other. And if you can't do it, and I can, you know I want to do it. See how that works? We'll keep reading now. And here are the gifts. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in the proportion of his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Now, what we're going to do is I'm going to write those names down, but I'm going to have you give them to me again. I'm going to turn my back. You're going to give them to me in order. I'm going to write them down, and then we're going to do some work, okay? First one, prophesying. Second one, serving. Next one, teaching. Next one, encouraging. Next, hang on. Next one, giving. Next one, leading. Next one, mercy. All right, seven gifts. Now, folks, I'm convinced of it. And we can, for the sake of our fresh face, folks, and just for our sake and to avoid any confusion, let's take prophesying off the table just for now, because the strict definition, Bible definition of prophesying was the being able to preach it by inspiration, preach the mind of God by inspiration. So since I've not heard of any of y'all do it, and I know I can't, because I've heard stuff came out of my mouth that you can't claim that was coming from God. So we're going to take prophesying off the table. But in this, in these areas, what I want you to do in this room, I want you to demonstrate to yourselves and to that other person, I want you to demonstrate that God has put those gifts in this place for that one purpose. Name somebody in this room. They've got to be in here right now who has the gift of serving, and they've used that gift to benefit us.
Kelly.
Kelly has that gift. Give me another one. Rex. Rex does it all the time. In fact, Rex does it so well, you may not even know that he does it. Because he doesn't stand up and say, okay, I'm going to go take care of this. No. He just does it. All right, give me somebody that does teaching. Rex.
No, this Rex.
Rex, yeah. Give me somebody that does teaching. And I'm not the illustration, so...
Lacey.
Lacey does. She's not in here. Give me somebody in this room.
John and Candy.
John and Candy are great teachers, right? All right, keep going. Encouraging. Anybody in here that you know, man, that person has a gift of encouragement. They can really put... They give me courage. They help me get through tough times.
James.
Who? James. James. At the same time, stereo again. James has got that gift. And these women find him encouraging. Keep going. Giving. In this room.
Bart.
And you may not know it. You might ever see it. I mean, you don't check the contribution checks, but it's not just a contribution check this is talking about. I know something about Bart. I know what he does for people, and he is gifted in this area and uses it to benefit this body. What about leadership? Bart came to my mind too. Rex does. Kelly does. These men have these qualities of leadership. All right? What about mercy? Candy.
Brad.
And both of those came to my mind. They both have shown an incredible ability to be merciful to people. While I might stand back and be kind of suspicious, while you and I might stand back and be kind of judgmental, or Brad and Candy will be the first to show mercy. Now, are all those the same function? Are all those the same function? You're going to have to answer me, or we're going to ask it again.
No.
Are all those the same function? No, they're not the same function, but do they all have the same purpose?
Yes.
They don't have the same function, but they have the same purpose. Now, I got to tell you, we've got enough church house experience in this place. I got to say this. I've watched it with little churches all of my life. I've watched it with mission churches for a big chunk of my preaching life. You start having a small church and you start to you schedule something. And let me give you an example. I remember a church where they decided to have a visitation program. Okay? Now, for those of you who are not familiar with church history, church backgrounds and stuff, don't worry about this illustration. Just let it go. The ones that get it will understand why I'm saying it. But they had a visitation program on a Monday night. And the preacher had worked it up. He had all the cards ready. He had all the members ready. He had everything. He had been preaching about visit, visit, visit. And he was working up his lessons and preaching. And on visitation night, three people showed up. Those of you who have a church house experience, tell me, how'd the preacher feel? It was a failure. Because? Nobody showed up. In fact, his statement was, "Where is everybody?" What does that say to the three people that are there? Wow. We don't do that here. And when I hear somebody say it, I try to correct them immediately. Well, where is everybody? Everybody that God brought here are right here. So let's thank God they're here and let's move on. But, hang on a second. Let's just be real honest. We're good at being honest. Do you want ever... Let's say we had us, and we don't, so I'm not fixing any cards. Let's say we had us a visitation program. Do you want everybody in here to go visit somebody? Honest. Huh? Are there some people you would rather not visit your family? You don't have to point at them. You don't have to, right? Do we not have some people that are old grouches? We love them. They're our old grouches. Leave them alone. But there are some people I don't want going to visit. I got to tell you, true story. I'm not making it up. It's real stuff. But maybe we can learn from the real stuff. I'm having a Bible study with somebody. Somebody brought somebody to me to teach the Bible, and we'd had several meetings. Was not going fast because the woman had 9 million questions, and she had so much past religious experience that she couldn't get over her past questions to ever get down to learning what Jesus had to say. But we're working on it, and she's coming. She's coming and learning God's Word. She's coming on Sundays. She's coming on Wednesdays. I see God opening that door and her heart opening up. And man, we're working hard at keeping her going. And she didn't want to come to this side of town because she's afraid of it. It's a scary part of town for her. All right? Well, one of our guys that I love very much, caught her right there, right in the corner, one Sunday, and said, "Hey, I hear you're having a Bible study with Rex. Usually he's baptized them by now. Why aren't you baptized?" Well, folks, we hadn't had that discussion yet. We were still trying to get the door open to her faith and let that lead to obedience. So he proceeded, and I was back over here when I saw it and heard it. And I started wading through people to get over there. And by the time I got over there, he had already been hateful to her about not doing what he had done. I had a study with Rex, and the first night I did it. She had no idea what he was talking about. She just knew his manner was very abrupt. And guess what? We've not seen her back here. Now, I hear from her once in a while, but we haven't got back. Now, has the door closed? I don't know. Am I blaming that brother? Nope. I'm just telling you, if not everybody shows up to visitation, is that a bad thing? No. Because we all have different functions. Are you listening? We all have different functions. We got one purpose, but we don't all have to show up at everything. There will not be... you know this is right. When we meet for this deal... nobody will be taking attendance to see if you showed up or not. And there will be nobody make any kind of pitiful announcement that says, "If you weren't at our meeting yesterday, then you really missed it. You should repent." You want to come and learn God? It's there. That's 24. You can't come. I'm not going to check you. I'm not going to come find you. We're not going to send a visitation team after you. Maybe you couldn't come. Maybe you didn't want to come. It's okay. Am I making sense? We all have different functions. We have people in this room that have these abilities, have these gifts, and God put them here for us. So we're not all going to do the same thing. Now let me show you some ways that's expressed in Scripture. Turn to the next book. Turn just to the next book over, 1 Corinthians. Go from Romans to 1 Corinthians. And look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now we're going to start in verse 5. We're going to start in verse 5, and I don't care. There's some of you that won't have any clue about these names. I don't care if you know who these people are. At this point, that's not the point. The point is the point Paul's trying to make when he writes this verse. What after all is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you come to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each His task. Do you see it? The Lord assigns the task. Keep reading. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who watered is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. Okay, in that text, and I don't know what causes that, folks, we're working on it. But in that text, he said there are people who plant and there are people who water. Now those of you who, you don't have to be a Bible student, you don't have to be a theologian to understand this. What's the difference between somebody that plants and somebody that waters? What's the difference? It's going to be a long day if you don't answer.
Anybody can plant something, but it takes somebody to nurture it.
All right, so you got to have somebody to plant, but then there are going to be some people that nurture it. You keep going.
I would say that it's just the order of what's necessary to get it to grow.
All right, order of what's necessary to get it to grow. Anybody else? If you don't plant it, it can't grow. If you plant it but you don't have a nurturer or water, it's not going to grow. So what do you got to have?
Both.
Ta-da! You got to have both of them, right? So, who is the planter? Now in the verse, I know it was Paul, but who is the planter? No. Think this through.
God planted the plant.
That's true, but who's the planter in this group?
Talk to people about Jesus.
Yeah, okay now, but there are people who don't talk about Jesus every day like you do. Anita is a planter. Anita will talk to a friend, and did just this week, talk to a friend and invite her to sit down with me to study God's Word. I would be the planter. I would be the planter because I'm there to teach. So Anita and I are trying to plant the Word in that friend of hers. All right? Who would be a waterer? Yeah, because when this lady, when Anita brings her friend that she has to this place, like on a Wednesday night, she has supper, who are the waterers? It's the people that interact with her, right? That treat her in a nurturing, kind of caring way. Now, do we all have the same purpose? Yes, but do we all have the same function? Now, do you want your planter doing the watering? Do you want your water doing the planting? If they can do both, okay. But if you've got a planter and he can do one thing, plant, and you got a water and he can only do one thing and that's water, what do you want them to do? Their job. So in this illustration, what do we want Anita doing? What do you want Rex doing? What do you want Kelly doing?
The role that God has assigned.
You want them planting. You want them talking to people that you're not going to know. You want them talking to people that you're not going to teach. Because honest, if somebody stood up, if they said, I'd like somebody to teach me about Jesus, there'd be some of you that would not hold up your hand to offer to help because you don't know how to. You're not good at that. Now, I'd hope if there was nobody else, you'd say, yeah, me, if nobody else will do it, I'll do it. But, honest, are there people that you don't want talking to your friend? Yes. But do you want everybody to be kind and to water?
Yes.
Yeah, see it? So we all have different purposes, but we've got I all have one purpose, but we have different functions. So sometimes in our fellowship, we've got, in side by side, some of us plant, some of us water. Okay, let's go to Philippians. You go through Romans, 1 Corinthians, you go through 2 Corinthians, and then Galatians, and then Ephesians, and then you go to Philippians. I want you to look in Philippians chapter 1. Now, I'm going to assume, we've discussed this before, but now some of us are just getting started in our Bible study. We're not going to understand this, so if you don't understand it, let it fly by, because it's not a problem. You'll pick it up as you learn more, as you read more about it, all right? But in Philippians chapter 1, look at verse 3. He said, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the... Now notice that phrase, from the what? So you know I'm not making it up. From the first day until now. So this group of people that were at the church in Philippi, they were in a partnership. What was their partnership? We don't know. It doesn't say until chapter 4. So turn to chapter 4. I want you to look at chapter 4, verse 14. Philippians chapter 4, verse 14. Yet it is good for you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. Keep reading. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. So you get a little peek at what was taking place. If you're a Bible student, you've done it before. You know in Acts 16, Paul showed up by a river and met Lydia and her family. She was a maker of purple, sold to really high-end clients. Paul taught her about Jesus. She confessed her faith and was baptized. Her and her family. Acts 16 says so. Then, later in Acts 16, Paul gets thrown in jail and he gets a chance to teach the jailer. So the jailer and his family confess their faith in Jesus and are baptized. So who shows up for church, put it in our terms, who shows up for church that first Sunday? Paul said from the first day until now. So the first Sunday they show up, who's in church? You got Lydia's family and the jailer's family. Do they look any different? Do they look any different? I need you to kick it in. Because Lydia's family, how are they going to show up dressed? They're all in purple. And do they look nice? And she worships outdoors, so do you think maybe she's healthy looking? Now, what's this jailer look like? He spends his time in a dungeon with the prisoners. So what does he look like? He's pale, pimply, no sunshine. And I bet his kids look like little criminals. You know, they got both of them. They got Lydia's high-tone family. And you now we don't have any of those in here, so I can't point to somebody. And then you've got the jailer, and some of you know him well. Guess what they decided to do on the first day? When they took their first contribution, if you want to put it in these terms, when they took their first contribution, what did they decide to do? I'm sorry? Give to Paul. Let's take up a contribution and give it to Paul. Well, he just left town. What did they want Paul to do? You can say it a genuine way. You say he wanted him to do in Thessalonica what he was doing in Philippi. They may say, we just want to say thank you to him. We want to help him out. He helped us. He saved my soul. So man, I want to help him out. So on the first day they met, I didn't write it. God said it. On the first day, they decided we're going to send aid to Paul. Now those of you who are Bible students, where'd Paul go after Philippi? I said it, so I gave you a hint. Thessalonica. So the very first missionary journey Paul made after Philippi was Thessalonica. And they didn't just send support to him. They didn't just send aid to him once. They sent it a second time. Now folks, it's easy for us. We take care of our responsibilities here. And we take care of we are allowed by God to have some opportunities. And we've been helping Valerie prepare for her work in the AIM program to go to Guadalajara. That's coming. We got to talk. We'll talk about that more. But that's a simple deal. That's writing a check, making sure that our bookkeeper knows where to put that so that money gets to where it's supposed to. That's relatively simple for us. For these folks to give, what did they have to do? They had to find somebody who would haul it down to Thessalonica. And they didn't have pickups. They had to give it to some old boy and say, okay, now you got to hike to Thessalonica. Folks, you know how far Philippi is from Thessalonica? It's about that far on the map, and that's a long way. But he had to carry money, too. Over those roads, what did he have to worry about? Robbers, sickness, weather. I don't know, all those kind of things. It had to bother him, right? And what did he do? They not only did it once, that guy came back and then they sent him again. Are there some people that go? Are there some people that give? One more time. Are there some people that go? Are there some people that give? There was a time in my life when I was one of those guys that could go. I can't do that anymore. Don't get to do that anymore. But I used to could go. And there would be people who would give so I could go. And I've gotten to go to some marvelous places and have some wonderful experiences. To teach people in India is an amazing opportunity. To teach people in Moscow is a marvelous, incredible experience. To teach people in China is... there's just nothing compares to those kind of incredible things. But how did I get there? Somebody had to give. So who is it that's doing the work of God? The person that goes or the person that gives? Yes. They're both doing that. Now, I think sometimes the way us, and I can make fun of preachers because I used to be one. You can't. But, man, preachers, that's something I'm getting. Every minute to go in the whole world, it's because of the old creature. Honest folks, there's some of you, I don't want you going. I don't want you going. One, I'm not for sure you'd get there on time. It's bad, bad. Bad teacher. Some of you wouldn't know how to explain it. Some of you wouldn't know how to describe it. Right? But on the second, there's some of you that can't go, but what can you do? You can give. So are we still partners? Yes. Right?
My dad went with a guy in school preaching up to Montana or somewhere. And they went door knocking. And this guy was just so abrupt. And Dad would just have to smooth it over. And, you know, he realized that was not his talent.
Yeah.
And it was very hard.
Hope that guy got a good job and could give.
Yeah.
Because, honest, there's some that can go and some need to give. Now, there's one other thing in Philippians I want you to see. They were partners with him in the giving, and he uses another word. Because I need you to understand, it's part of what we do here for Valerie and for some others. We did it for Dennis and Teresa. They were partners in the giving and
receiving.
You know what that means? There were other people that wanted to help Paul go. So they sent their money to Philippi so Philippi could take their money to Paul. So sometimes... We're not able at this point anyway, have not demonstrated that we're able to take care of all of Valerie's needs as she prepares herself to go to Guadalajara. But there are people that want to help her, so they send their money here, and then we put it with our money, and then we send her, give her the money. So we are partners with her in receiving and in giving. Does that make sense? Do we all have the same function? Nope, but we all got the same purpose. That's side by side. All right, last verse. Start turning to the right. You're going to go through Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, keep going, Hebrews, James, and then 1 Peter. And if you got lost, go to the back of your Bible, go to the maps and back up. You'll get it easier. 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to start reading in verse 7. All right, you got it? 1 Peter 4. Everybody there? Verse 7. The end of all things is near. Therefore be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. One more time, verse 10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. One more time. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Why did God give me, why did God give you any gift? Beyond the gift of life, beyond the gift of eternal life, He also gave us gifts. So why did He do that? According to that verse, why did He do it? So we could share it with others, because that's how we take the grace that God gave us and pass it on to somebody else. We're to faithfully administer that. You want to be a disciple? Serious. You want to be a disciple? You don't have to do everything. Just do what God gave you the opportunity to do. Because your opportunity reveals your responsibility. Make sense? Now, is everybody going to be doing the same thing? Nope. And I know how it happens in church. Well, I'm the only one around here that does this. I thank God that you're there doing it. Because if you weren't there, nobody would get it done. But honest, you're not the only one. You may be the only one at that moment doing that, but there's some other folks doing what they're doing, or this place wouldn't be growing like it is. We've been given a gift by God to serve others. All right? They drafted four West Texas boys and stuck them on a boat full of Yankees. Did they all have the same function? Well, my dad ran the radar. Some other guys ran the guns. Another guy watched the brig. He knew my dad well. He knew the brig. Did they all have the same function? Did they all have the same function?
No.
Did they all have the same purpose?
Yes.
Yeah. Do we all have the same function? Do we all have the same purpose?
Yes.
Yes, we are all on the same boat, fighting an enemy, protecting those we love, and whether we like each other or not, whether we share anything in common or not in life, we do share that purpose, and that's what makes us partners. That's what makes this fellowship. Right?